between me and John.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Di, I'm glad you're here. Hi, angels. It's Di and I today for our Sunday morning, Sunday morning show on relationships, and we use a lot of the chapters from our book. You mean there's a law that says he has to be attracted to me, and I talked to someone the other day, Di, and I'll share the story before we close the call, but she got some amazing stuff out of it. I thought, did we really write that? Like, I got to go look again.
Yeah.
But.
I'm glad.
I know.
You are smart. Weren't
yeah.
we smart?
Yeah. Oh, we just know how to channel really well. It's all good.
Yeah.
That's funny. Here's the deal, you guys. You always ask, or people always ask me, or, you know, how did you get an idea for this show? That was a wonderful show. And so this week, Di came to me and she said, Tree, let's do a show on this. I was like, hey, cool. So, and it's a great topic. So, Di, share with us how you came up with the show topic this week, because I think it's interesting.
Well, my mom has been doing researching the family genealogy on Ancestry.com, and it's like a puzzle. You know, she said it's like you get drawn into it, and then it's fascinating to start reading stories about people. And when she started also looking up, she was trying to do a family tree for me and my sister. So she was also needing to look up my dad's, old relatives. And she and my dad are divorced. I should add that first. So she found all this stuff about her, like, great-great-grandfather. And then who got hung. He was sentenced to hanging for something. And then when she got into my dad's, his great-great-grandfather was the one who sentenced hers to hang. So it's like, I don't know, it may be great-great-great-great. I can't remember how many greats, but anyway, an old person was sentenced to hanging by a judge who was a relative of his. And so she said, I wonder if it's like this family karma. Like, I had to come back and he had to be, enslaved to me or something. But I thought it was hilarious, and that's why I thought, I'm gonna ask you, because I think it's a great topic, because we always talk about old karma, repeating lives with your soul family, with karma that you've brought in. But, can you really bring in karma like as a family like that, And that was my question to you, and I thought it was a great topic for today.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and I thought about it, and it's come up in readings. I don't do too much with it, although I'm feeling guided that it ties into a couple different things, which we'll talk about. One of the things I think is super interesting on this is your great-great-grandfather and your mom's and your dad's great-great-grandfather and your mom's great-great-grandfather are sitting there, and he's probably looking at the dude that judged him, saying, hey, I'm coming back. Don't you worry. You're going to marry me? I'm going to make your life miserable.
Right.
It's been. Who's going to be hanging? I'm going to hang you out to dry in court there, pal. Right? Yeah. That'll be money. Okay. Money always hits harder, I think, sometimes than physical pain. So, anyway, yeah. So, yeah, there is. There's family, and I sent an email out, and I posted it on Blog Talk called Family Karma, but it's really about soul family karma. I'm going to give you a couple of situations that I've had when I've done things with people in the past or people that have called. And just remember, for every action, there's a reaction. And that's, what is that, a law of physics or something like that. So that mm-hmm. works with people, works with families, it works with our planet, it works with the universe, okay? So when they say that we're all part of the one, and that's really true. And that sounds so sweet, right? People don't realize how mm-hmm. important it is. Let me give you an example. I did a reading on a lady. It was a couple. Yeah, it was a couple. And they had, their families were arguing about money, okay? You know what I mean? Who had more money? He has more. He needs to support our family, and so on. And what happened is that in a past life, these families were feuding very similar to the Hatfields and McCoys, okay? Do you understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And, or Romeo and Juliet, those kind of things. And so what they did is they, both families came and had no money, zero money. And these two people got together and created a fortune in a wealth of money, old money, and not old money, but new money, nouveau riche, is that what you call it? And and these families were coming to them. Now, what had happened is, to balance the karma out between the families, they, in their soul agreement time, and you guys, this is super important to remember, everything we do counts, and we plan everything we experience, the good and the not so good. And I'm going to back it up a few minutes, because when I did this reading with this couple, their families had all lost their money. Both sides had lost their money. Do you understand? Like, some of them had been born really poor. Some of them had went through terrible, making poor choices, circumstances, those kind of things. But their close family members were all looking for these two people to give them money that they created together. And what had happened in their soul agreement, they had both soul families had been fighting for so long with each other that you know, for many, many lifetimes, that they chose these two people to go back and balance the karma out in a positive way, where they made money and they were able to come together and create a great fortune. And the deal was, how to balance the karma out is that the rest of the family really had to come learn how to say it, they go, we're going to help them, but they have to learn to give back. And so what happened is, there's about five or six relatives, I remember. They did help them, but what happened is, they made them give back. They worked for, they worked for, you know, when you build houses for people, you help people build houses. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember it. You know what I'm talking about.
Habitat for Humanity.
Habitat for Humanity, okay? Yeah, mm-hmm. Habitat for Humanity. And there was a group of, and actually we did the marketing and PR for this too as well, Angel Coaches did. But they did Mortgage Angels, because it was the Mortgage Angels. The man was the property thing, and the woman had a mortgage company. And so they had really created this amazing fortune together. And so the families were pissed. So what they did is, they made them work together, Habitat for Humanity, and they were able to balance the karma out, okay? Do you understand? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's been a while, it's been years ago. So, so that's one way, and then they were able to clear the cellular memory, because what they remember is always fighting and reacting a certain way. You know what I mean? And so rolling up your sleeves and working with your brother, or working with your family member from the other side who you absolutely abhor, really change things. And end of story, last time I checked, it's been a while, it's been years ago actually, probably about 9 or 10, they were actually working together, and the families weren't wealthy, but most of the ones that were having the biggest issue were comfortable. So there's a lot more to the story than I'm telling you, but I hope that helps, you know. So was that soul family? Yes, their souls agreed to do this, right? But they didn't remember that they agreed to do this. They just got pissed, as they've done in several lifetimes, about the money. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Funny, huh? You know, like,
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it happens all the time, you know, too, as well. So, yeah, it is. And we choose it. We create it before we ever get here. But to really believe in karma, you have to realize that you do choose everything you experience, every negative thing, every positive thing, and you are not a victim with anything, okay? And that is real key there. That sort of thing. So what's your thoughts? So that's the story I want to share with you. It's like, yeah, Mortgage Angels, isn't that a great name? You know, her and her husband created this amazing building, and they had all this stuff, and they were super wealthy. So it was very cool. Anyway, but what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think we definitely come back with the same group of souls, and so it stands to reason that sometimes that would be our family, you know. I mean, it's not just, they're not always going to be our friends or lovers or whatever, you know, or they're going to be in our family. So it's just funny, you know, when you do start looking back at, you know, relationships like that, and you see the connections in them, you know, where you had relatives who connected, and so it really makes you think, okay, were we those relatives? Was that us?
Yeah.
Because I think there was five generations. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, repeat that. There was about five what?
I think my mom said there was like five generations between us and these men. So it was quite a few years. It wasn't even great great. I think it was more than that. But that seems like a pretty good time slot. It's like our you know, souls or whatever you want to call it would have gone through period where you're on the other side for you get to reconnect with each other before you would have to come back. Because I don't think you just totally come back, you know, every 100 years or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you think differently. But
no, I really think that there's at least 100 to 200 years. There's a real definite law about that, okay? Or, you know, that most people go through such a healing process. In linear time, it's usually 100 to 200. Sometimes they come back right away. I knew my daughter and my mother came back right away because those two have some real karma to settle between them, you know, and me too, with them. So, that's what I do know. I think it's really important. I don't know, you know, I've done meditations before where it goes, send this energy of forgiveness back to your family in the past or to this person in the past. And it really does change things, okay? It changes the energy. So, you know, when I was listening to you and then going back in time, you know, looking at some of the people that I've just talked to over the years, that's what I realized. So, you know, one of the things I want to make sure that I, you know, if you're listening to this now or you download it later, when you're doing your meditation or whenever you're doing whatever you're doing, you know, being grateful, just send grateful, loving energy back to the things, your friends and your family, from the past, you know what I mean, great-grandparents and all that, because it changes the energy within the soul agreements, you know, and that's important. I read this actually in a book. There was a group of families, a soul family, that they had really needed to learn compassion. Apparently, a bunch of that soul family had I want to say it was something like, you know, at putting people as outcasts that had some dreaded disease back in times like leprosy or something like that. So what they did is the family of souls that were the same soul family were on the other side before they came here. And there was one soul that says, I will go back and do this so that we'll clean up our family karma and we won't have to suffer with this again or we'll have to deal with this again. So what he did is he volunteered to come back and have HIV, was HIV positive in the early 80s when being HIV positive was a death sentence, you know.
Well, it's like a leprosy, too. Yeah,
leprosy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he volunteered to come back to, you know, where he was an outcast and where people make fun of him. He was thrown out and tortured, you know. I mean, a lot of those folks back at that time were. And so with that, the folks that tortured him, we're a lot of the folks that he tortured in another lifetime, okay, he and his family. Okay,
right.
So let's just, you know, and I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, he tortured in another lifetime. So what he did is he balanced the family karma, okay, you know, and said, okay, we're done here, we can move ahead. But I think it's super important just to remember that every action, there's a reaction, you know, and there's no right or wrong, and you can – you can balance it however you want to. I mean, I know that there's been families that have been, you know, come back and they don't understand why they're dirt poor. Everybody else around them is making money in real estate and they can't, you know, or they don't or they haven't. And one of the things that you look at is say, okay, let me look at my family karma. Let me look at my own soul karma, soul contract, family contract, you know, soul family contract and what's going on here. Am I supposed to be poor this lifetime? Okay, what am I balancing out? And then when you can find that, then you can make a different choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times you can't. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be, you know, or maybe you do. I'm not saying yes or no on that, but there's different ways that you can to find that out. And you can balance the karma and clean up the soul memory of being always poor, because just like being overweight or having heart disease is in your DNA, our soul families carry DNA too, or, you know, do you understand, of things that we've dealt with,
right,
like being poor or being rich or, you know, or being healthy,
yeah,
or not being healthy.
We had, we had very wealthy people with castles and stuff in England, and then we had, you know, the woman who grew her own tobacco so she could chew her tobacco.
Love
so,
that.
You know, we've
what
had
kind of,
all kinds of all kinds of extremes on my side of the family. So, you know, I could be wealthy or poor, either one.
So I don't know. There you go.
I guess it's your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like, you know, so what do you feel your family karma is, Di? I mean, I know with your grandparents, but how about, do you have a thought about your own? Or you and John, your karma, your family, his family karma? Because, you know, he's got some interesting stuff, if it's okay if I ask. By the way,
no,
John,
you know,
and I'm going to share this with everybody that listens and downloads it later. John and Diane, you guys have, we've been tracking their romance before. She was like, I don't want to say anything to jeopardize it. And now they're moving in together. Isn't that cool? Anyway, that's
Yay!
Good karma.
Yeah. That's
you
karma.
Know,
okay, say, so, hey, I'll get into karma using that is. You know, it's hard. I mean, it's like he's one of those people that when I met, I felt completely comfortable with. So you feel like you've known them, you know, you like you've known them before or whatever. I have no idea what kind of karma we would have had, like, in a different life. But I know he was someone who I completely felt at home with when I first met him. And that doesn't happen to me very often. And so I don't know. I mean, I feel like we were compatible souls in another life, probably. I don't know, you know, I don't know what kind of relationship we had, but I felt a compatibility there with him instead of it's not like a toxic relationship. You know what I mean? So, I mean, sometimes you get involved with someone, they seem attracted to you, but it's a volatile relationship, and your reasons for being attracted to them are more negative, actually, than positive. But I didn't ever have
right.
that feeling with John, which is completely comfortable all the time. So I don't know what kind of karma we might have. Maybe I'm beholden to him. I don't know.
Well, do you think he has any family karma too as well? I mean, I'm going to do this in really general terms if it's okay. I think that John's family had a lot of Sol's family had a lot of karma in one sense of the word, as we all do, okay? So
mm-hmm.
his karma, where he you know, he had to take care of people and nurse his family, not one but a lot of them, okay? So
mm-hmm.
and
right.
be the caretaker. Okay, and I feel that John volunteered to be this caretaker to not only balance karma between he and whoever, okay, just like we all do, because I'm not picking on John, but I'm just using him as an example. But I also think that he's been the caretaker and then showing these people how to take care of themselves and saying, okay, enough now. Now you need to be responsible. Because maybe in
mm-hmm.
a past life, okay, for example, the people that he took care of financially, emotionally, and physically, and spiritually, lived in a world where they didn't care about anything but themselves, right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they chased to come back with some karma to balance their family, where John says, okay, I'm going to take care of you until you learn how to do it yourself. So that's what I think is
mm-hmm.
going on here. Do you understand? Balancing the family
yes.
karma, you know, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how cool is that? You know, and
that is
and
cool
everything.
If they learn how to take care of themselves. I mean, there's one that I don't think will ever, you know, can't take care, you know, so there's, you know, I think that one, I don't know, when someone gets to be really incapacitated and they can't really take care of themselves, that's so
But
much.
Maybe taking
I don't
care
know.
Of themselves is being in the hospital or being, you know, allowing, you know, allowing
mm-hmm.
someone else to live their life because not sacrificing their life to take care of them. Do you see what I'm saying? So that
right.
would mean
right.
that's kind of what I'm seeing, you know. And
yes.
so he's freed himself. He's balanced, he, you know, he and his soul family, they balance the karma. Or these folks, man, you know, chose to, you know, have the family karma there that they, you know, where they had to be here and take care and be responsible and take care of themselves. And
mm-hmm.
what a gift, you know. So he's helped balance, and it looks like the one, I think I know the one you're talking about. And this person
mm-hmm.
is doing it. She's doing it in a different way, but she's still doing it. You know what I mean? Fighting herself, probably kicking and screaming. Sounds like my daughter. How about you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Totally kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Don't want to do it.
Anyway.
Don't want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a friend of mine. She's got some karma with her family karma she's supposed to balance out. And I'm not sure she's doing it. And I'll share this with you. I want you to think about it. And if you have an answer, I'd love to know. In a past life, her family, she was supposed to, she just left them both, right? The mom and the grandma, all the family, and did her own thing. In the current life, you know, she has a hard time being around people that are incapacitated or sick or have a surgery or whatever. And she told me the story the other day. She said, Therese, she said, I have the hardest, and it's been like this, you know, she goes, she lost somebody who was dear to her. And she goes, ever since then, it's just so hard. Like when my boyfriend went in the hospital and something happened where battery acid exploded on him, and I didn't even check on him until later. Like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
She said, and then, yeah, and then she said, he's okay, and he got out that night. I was like, really? And she goes, yeah, I didn't even, you know. And then one of her, the guy that she's dating now, you know, he's got to have some surgery, and she's really having a hard time being there for him, you know what I mean? Although she wants
really?
To be, but, and, yeah. So she has these people showing up in her life, you know, that, you know, she's got a couple relatives that were the same way, that they needed help, and she could throw money at it, but she couldn't throw herself at it. I was like, huh, interesting. So
that's
that,
funny.
You know,
that is interesting, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you
is that
see
family
people
karma?
Like that, where, right, they can't, they're like, okay, financially I'll give you some help to get out of my face, you know. It's just like, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to see you, you know. Yeah, it's harder to show up in person. It really is. It's harder to show up for people with your body, you know. That's funny. A little battery acid exploded. Don't know what happened.
Yeah, and long, I was like, wow, how long has this been going on? She goes, for a while. Like, how
for
old?
For a while.
She goes, well, she goes, I'm in my late 30s now, or middle late 30s, and she says it's been going on since I was a teenager. I was like, oh, that's a long time, you know. So anyway,
that's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
She says, what do you think my family volunteered me to do? I said, be the quicker picker upper. People love the small.
There you go.
You know.
That's
knows?
Too funny.
You know. Yeah. Anyway, the other thing is, yeah, I know, God bless her. I love her. She's a sweetheart. The other thing is that, you know, too, we talk about family karma and balancing out, and you and your, it's actually like your mom and your dad had came back before, that this is the softest balancing out that there is, but there's been a couple of lifetimes where they may have showed up. Okay, do you understand? Fighting and screaming at each other. Okay, do you understand?
Oh, is that
right?
And then, I believe it.
Yeah, no, because I was thinking, this is not the first lifetime after that lifetime. I feel like there's maybe one, maybe two others, depending on how many greats there are, where they were actually fighting and, you know, you know, stewing mad and wanting to shoot each other, okay, which is probably how they are in this lifetime, okay? So they're just being more politically correct. Yeah,
yes, at
you know.
Least they're still friendly since they're divorced, you know. They're still friendly. So that's one thing you're going to say, you know. So, yeah, there was probably some karma involved in that relationship. And it was funny, like she was telling me, when she met my dad, it was like, it was kind of a weird situation where she was a junior in high school, and she was in, you know, she came to find out later on that she was in a gymnasium where my dad was playing basketball. A guy that she was going to date was playing basketball, and a guy that she, the current one that she was dating, was playing basketball. It was just a weird, it's like all three of these men who were going to be a part of her future life were all in the same gym in this little town, you know, in Oklahoma when she was a junior in high school. It was kind of weird. Very strange karma.
How did they all end up in small town USA, right?
Uh-huh.
Exactly. That's funny.
Yeah.
I want you guys, I was sitting there going, that's interesting, because you think, and people think that it's not important. You guys, that can affect your physical health, your spiritual health, your mental health, and emotional health. What does that look like? It sometimes can affect your purse, your pocketbook, family karma. Mm-hmm. So I want to be really clear with that. So when you're meditating or you're praying or you're saying your thanks or gratitude, and if you don't do any of those things, I really would suggest you pick up one, at least saying, hey, I'm grateful for five things every morning. But, you know, being grateful and then also sending love back to your great-grandparents like yours, you know, when you're meditating, die, just send it back to the, that energy of those two great-grandfathers, you know, in that lifetime. Send it ahead and send it back. It makes a huge difference, loving the energy. You know, we talk about family karma too being negative, but there is also positive karma, family karma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like those, you know, there was a story on Lifetime, and I never watched TV, but I wanted to see this. It was a true story about the girl that won the medal, gold medal in the Olympics in 2012. And it's talking about her Cinderella story going from rags to riches and her whole family going with her. And I got to tell you, that's some family karma there. That soul said, I'll step up and be the gymnast. And then the other one, I'll be the brother that supports you. I'll be the sister that supports you, and I'll be the mom. You know, and that's who she chose, and they chose each other. So they come back to this family, you know, doing this family karma where they've had to, you know, literally were homeless and in a rags-to-riches story. So it doesn't have to be that dramatic, but, you know, some of the positive family karma that you experience is part of this whole agreement that you guys have made together as a family. You know what I mean? So just remember that, too. So I think that's true. It's a great story, you know. So, and I was thinking, I wonder what positive family karma do I have? You know, and, you know, looking at that, too, as well. So we should all look at it, right? So it will help us move ahead and have great life of prosperity where we know that God is always there for us and we're part of God and God is part of us. That's what I really think, you know what I mean, too. So anyway, well, that's what I got to say about that. What do you feel about any family karma? Anyway, and if you can...
I just don't want to come back again. I'm tired of coming back. I don't want to come back again.
Sleeping in a hammock, right? You know what I mean? And taking care of the castle in the background or getting a host of people to do that. Listen, that's cool. I like that.
It's too much work down here. It's just too much work.
Yeah, you know, I remember I always tell that to the angels. I go, what do you guys have to do? Just sit there and play a bunch of harps? I'm like, come on, you need to get, like, real stuff down
get
there.
Real.
Yeah. Anyway, they don't have karma issues, that's for darn sure, so. But they also don't have free will, so we got some good stuff there. Anyway, you guys, I really enjoyed talking to you about this. This is something, and remember, karma is, you know, we see it with our families, we see it with individuals, we see it with ourselves. We also have planet karma, okay? So if you don't take care of the planet, it comes back. It bites you. It does. And if you take care of the planet, it comes back, and it serves you well. So just remember that your society and your environment will serve you well. And you serve your environment serves you. So it's always the way it is. Anyway, and people are like, man, it's just hard. Is he going to call? Is she going to call? That's what I really like to worry about. I get y'all.
Yeah, that's what they want to worry about. Yeah.
Anyway, just ask, while you're waiting for the call or waiting for the raise, just say, hey, send love and energy to your ancestors. Send love and energy to your future people and to your future soul family. And that will help a great deal for the call to come and the raise to come too as well because we're all part of the one. That's for darn sure. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a couple things here. Next week we're going to do a show on prospects or projects. Huh. How many projects have you dated?
Yeah.
You know, we're chatting about that. Yeah,
we've had a lot
the
of
other
projects.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
The fixer picker uppers. Anyway, we think they're easy. They're not. So I'd rather date a prospect any day. And so we're going to talk about that, how to choose, how to make sure you get a prospect instead of a project, how to make sure you're not a project and you're a prospect. That's a big one right there.
Right.
What do you mean?
Right.
You know, so. You know,
some
anyway.
Of us don't
and
realize
then,
you're a project.
Exactly. That's where ignorance and bliss comes in, right? You know, too, as
that's
well.
Right.
I was going to share the story. So the lady said she looked at she read her book and she said cellular memory and I was like, did we write about that? I guess we did. And I looked, I knew we did.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, in the mantra that you gave and how to do work with the twin flame, twin soul. She goes, my guy and I are together and we're happy. I was like, how sweet is that? You know. And she said, I read your book
awesome.
And put stuff into practice. And I go, okay, well, I'll tell Di. She goes, please tell her. And I said, I will. And she goes, I listen to you guys' show, and it's cool, and I get a lot out of it. We also, Di, have shows with you. If you go to facebook.com/angelcoaches and like our page, please like our page. There was a lady who sent us, she listens to our show. She's from Crete. I guess that's in Greece. And she sent us the oldest picture, the oldest olive tree with Archangel Michael on it. And you can see the image of Archangel Michael. How cool is that, right? You know,
that's
so
cool,
anyways.
Yeah.
But like us on Facebook.com/angelcoaches, and then you can see that image there too as well. So we're trying to do some wonderful things, and or not trying, but we're doing some wonderful things. And Di and I are doing some great things, and we're writing another book. Man, I got Project or Prospect. That should be
project
one of the daylights. Are you a project or a prospect?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Everyone thinks they're a prospect. You know, we all think we're great prospects. But,
yeah.
Sometimes we're not.
How about, no, we're not. Hey, there's one that I said, what's a great pickup line? And I got this, okay. The guy says, do you know how to scare a bee? No. Booby. He didn't realize.
Scare
okay. Do you know how to scare a bee? Booby. You know, and he reaches up to pinch my boob. How cool is that? Isn't that funny?
Oh, my gosh. Now. That one went right over my head.
That's okay. It works better. Tell John to try it.
That was
not
so great pickup line. Yeah. You mean you didn't like that guy? You didn't take him home with you?
No, I didn't take him home with me. Go figure. That's funny. Anyway, this is Di and I are getting ready to write a book, another book on best pickup lines, okay, or what not to say. So, anyway, maybe that's one for not what not to say. So there's
what
a whole thing there. Yeah, what not to say. Listen, you guys need to write. You and John need to write a book. Okay, I'm just saying. That's what I feel. That's a psychic vibe.
I feel that too.
And that's going to be a bestseller. And you and I got some neat things we're working on, so keep us, all the guys that listen now or later, keep us in your thoughts and prayers about our own book. Anyway, so we have our next show's on Tuesday night, and it's all about manifesting and creating. And then we have a great show on Thursday. I do apologize, this past Thursday I was not feeling well, so I canceled the show. Never really happens, but we will be on again next Tuesday, and of course next Sunday. Prospects or projects, which one are you? So, anyway,
yeah.
That's what we should call the show by. That's good. Yeah. Or which one are you, or which one do you like to date? You know, so it's all good. Anyway, follow us on blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches. They've got some really neat things they do to you guys, do with you guys that follow, and give you some real opportunities to participate in a lot of good stuff. blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches. And then also listen to our shows Tuesday night at 30. Thursday at 8, and, of course, Sunday morning at 11. All right, Di, you guys, who are you pulling for? Of course you're pulling for. So look at Tony.
Broncos, of course. Broncos. Oh, yeah. My God. Yes, I'm so excited. Yeah, I got to start making, you know, Super Bowl food right now.
You and John. Oh, that's so sweet. You see, guys, she needs to teach us how to be a couple, how to cook and be a couple.
See?
You think,
That's the best ever is hanging out, grazing on food in front of the football game. You know, that's like my, you know, dream come true. The best
How
Sunday
cool is that?
Ever. So, yes, it'll
enjoy.
Be good.
Enjoy, have fun,
and
you guys have a great time. I will talk to you later. Take care, everybody. Have a great now, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.